over the world, the Christian community is preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ many years ago in Bethlehem. Each will commemorate this event in a certain way. Some individuals will stay true to tradition and order, following the customs and practice of times past. Others will concentrate on the Bible in the book of Luke, contemplating the events that occurred on that holy night so long ago. In their mind's eye, they try to imagine what it might have been like to be there. Whatever our method of preparation, the desire is to gain knowledge concerning the significance of this birth. What was so special about the baby that allowed shepherds to leave their flocks and go in search of the child? Why did wise men travel from afar to pay homage and bring gifts? Some worshipers are content to leave the story in Bethlehem, considering it merely the tale of one man's journey. Now, as Christians, they do conclude that, yes, Jesus Christ was the only begotten child of God, and that this term applies to him only. They do not understand that Christ is the spiritual principle assigned to God's child, and that each one of us is that child. In order to understand the deeper implication of the holy name, we must know of the truth of self. To discover the profound aspects of life requires illumination and enlightenment beyond the range of mental faculties. We must go beyond experience and environment. Searching for the truth of self, we ask, what is the light of truth? What is its understanding, and where do we find it? Truth is not known through any system of ideas which have to do with cause and effect, changing and applying, regenerating and overcoming. Truth is not revealed by what we are thinking, where we have been, or what we have done. The truth of us is that we are spirit. We are spiritual beings. To know us as spiritual beings, we must align ourselves with the qualities and attributes of the divine self. Spirit is truth itself, immaculate, immutable, and unchangeable. In the light of truth, we see and we know everything as it is. Identified as spirit, we are no longer that self we seemed to be. Whenever a new light comes into view, old things must pass away. The sincere Christian goes in search of the Christ child so that he or she may live the Christhood of his or her own nature. And we do prepare for the arrival of the new idea. The infinite always gives us advance notice when it is time for another decree in our spiritual unfoldment to take place. We had advance notice about the birth of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament contains testimony announcing the coming of the one who would make us aware of the greater truths of our being. In the New Testament, we read that Mary, the mother of Jesus, kept all the sayings that had been written of his coming, and she meditated on them. She kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And so should we. Let us take our Bibles down from the shelf and read the prophecies of the Old Testament and the testimony of the New, silently and sacredly, ponder them inwardly. The inner nature illumines and clarifies, revealing the light of truth. The Christ child came with a great mission. It was to prepare us for our own spiritual awakening. As we become aware of the true meaning of Christmas, we begin to discover the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is the name that Jesus gave to the spiritual realm, the world of reality. The Christmas story is the awakening of the individual soul to its reality. The birth takes place in the soul of man. We have read, though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, unless in thee the Christ is born, the soul is all forlorn. The soul commands, let there be light. When Paul discovered the Christ spirit in his being, he said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me. When the light of truth dawns in our soul's awareness, we too can say that Christ liveth us. Christian mystics and holy men reveal there is a potential Christ in every man and in every woman. This is the glory of the Gospels and the essential message of Jesus. Intuitively, we feel we are greater than what we appear to be. We have grown weary of that old theology that confined the term Christ to one glorious Son of God and denied it to all others. Joseph Cook, the great Orthodox theologian, said, "The heathen who never heard of the historic Christ will be saved if they have known the essential Christ." Now, this distinction is of vital importance. Jesus is the person. Christ is the principle. It was the understanding that Jesus had of the Christ principle, or the essential Christ, that earned him the designation Jesus the Christ. On Christmas morning, the light of truth reveals the essential Christ as a living presence in the soul of all humanity. The encouragement is to reach for the mark of the high calling, to attain the full measure of Christhood. The biblical writers all point to the conclusion of this attainment. It was the spirit of the Old Testament. It is the fulfillment in the new. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night that led the early Christians through trials innumerable was the hope of attaining Christhood. In the New Testament to the early worshipers, Christianity was to them a science and a discipline. They looked to the Master Jesus in very much the same way as does the beginner in music look to the master musician. Jesus' words, "The works that I do, you can do also," were to them an inspiration and a challenge. So must they ever be to the true disciple. The study of the life of Jesus will be of little benefit to us unless we are aware of a like nature. And herein is the difference between the old theology and the truth as taught by Jesus. The old theology pointed to Jesus as being of another order, different from us, one who entered into some agreement with God and then died to save us from our eternal wrath. Thus it would appear that salvation is arbitrary in the mind of God. How different the message of Jesus! When his disciples came to him after they failed to heal an obsession, they ask him, "Why could we not cast them out?" Jesus did not say, "Because you are only mere men, while I am the only begotten child of God." But rather he said, "Because of your unbelief in the Father, who is as near to you as he is to me." As a perceiver of law, Jesus knew that no man would ever do the works he did unless he lived in the same consciousness that he did. In going to a master of music, we acknowledge our capacity to learn what he has to teach. So we know the principle of harmony is no respecter of persons. And so it is in the school of the Christ. When Jesus taught us how to pray and say, "Our Father," the principle of equality was born. These two words, "Our Father," abolished all idea of a life separate and apart from God and apart from our fellow man. Thus it will be seen that the call to Christhood is the call to the highest achievement. It is the realization of power. It implies man's dominion given to him by God. This is the perpetual Christmas message. This is the kingdom of the invisible. Thou art my only beloved child, and I have prepared a place for you. Jesus revealed the light of truth to the world, making it available to every man and to every woman. Jesus was no respecter of persons. This message is meant for all people and at all times on into eternity. Yes, Jesus brought truth to the world. And at first we may mistakenly search in the world to find it. However, this is not what is meant when we say that Christ revealed the light of truth to the world. He did not just pick it up, put it out there somewhere, and hope that somehow humanity would find it. Truth is our spiritual nature, a quality of God, which places it in the sanctuary of inner being. The inner nature of man is the true revealer. It illumines and enlightens the one who is ready to receive it. The world will not know of this. The world cannot heal itself or correct its error in understanding, nor can it fix its erroneous beliefs or misguided conclusions. Only Christ can do these things. The Christmas story is our personal journey. Christ lives in us. In our time of awakening, we prepare the way. Let us develop the faith of Mary, which allows us to accept the birth of the Anointed One in us. Let us be as Joseph, willing to acknowledge a spiritual birth, one of the Holy Ghost. Let us be as receptive as that humble shepherd, so that we too may leave all and find this child for ourselves. Let us become as the wise men, retiring to that sacred place in us until we too are able to see the star, the light that leads us to the new revelation. At this time of celebration, let us follow the light of truth so that we may greet the Anointed One, the one sent from God. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the stillness of this moment, let us rest in the expectancy of the Holy Birth. It comes as a light to the weary soul with the promise, "I will never leave you." As I prepare for this blessed event, I understand that I must nurture and care for this idea born in me. I let it take root so that it may grow and unfold in knowledge of its divine self. I keep it sacred and secret in the holy sanctuary of my being. Now, when I do this, I can testify to what I have seen and to what I have heard. My words and my deeds bear witness to the indwelling presence. Wise men still seek him. This morning, let us be counted among the wise. In the stillness of this moment, we quiet ourselves, and we hear the angel's voice, "For unto you a child is born. Let us make room for him in our hearts." Amen. Alan will now sing Child in Manger by Sally DeFord.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the love of God fill your heart with joy in this Christmas season and throughout the coming year. Amen. Go in peace and have a blessed Christmas.